Okay. So Roy Todd is a brother from across the pond. He is a evangelist. He's a wonderful preacher. He's a church planter. He has planted three campuses now. They're starting their third one. So Leicester, Loughborough, I think they started with Loughborough. Leicester, if you're a soccer person, Leicester City was really prominent a couple years ago. Does anybody watch soccer? Come on. Thank you, Leicester City. Yeah. Well, I got more love talking about March Madness basketball than I'm getting on soccer right now. Okay, so Roy's from that community, and they're just now starting a campus at Nottingham. They're getting their core group started. He's going to share some of his story there. One of the other amazing things about Roy Todd is he's a world-class pianist. If you ever walk down to near my office on a Sunday morning before service, I'm playing Roy Todd music. It is anointed. It is life-giving. Go out, Spotify, find Roy Todd, play his music. You will love it. So, world-renowned pianist, evangelist, church planter, and husband to Lydia, father to Sophia. And what I love about him the most is he loves the Lord and he loves the body of Christ, and he has a really good word for us this morning. You ready to go, Roy? Would you honor and welcome Roy, please?
I better be good, I guess. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Merle. Thank you so, so much. You going to jump off? Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you today here in Grace Covenant Church. I really appreciate this church and the relationship that I've had. I must have been coming here now for over 10 years, I guess. And I just love it every time I come. It's like coming home. And so thank you for making me feel welcome. Thank you, Bert, for being my pilot and for transporting me around. We really appreciate that. Great to be here with you today. Just to mention to you that I won't get time to obviously stay around at the end of this service today, because I'm going to scoot over to East Campus, wherever that is. I don't even know where that is, but they could be taking me anywhere, you know. just to let you know that there is a CD. There's a very limited number of copies of these. I think there's only four. This is unpublished music that came out of my own experience. I'll probably tell you a little story or two about this morning. It's called Healing Place. And if you're believing for healing, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, whatever it is, they're going to be. I'm going to leave these with Merle and Sue. There's only four of them. If we need to get more across, I'm sure we could do that somehow. And they're on good old-fashioned CDs. Thank God for the CD. Bring back CDs and vinyl. That's what I say. Let's get back to good music again, you know. But they're available afterwards, and we want you to take. There's no charge on that, so I just want you to take that. And if it blesses you, just let us know that it has blessed you. That would be much appreciated. I want to talk to you this morning about this theme. You should see it on the screen there, hopefully. Finding a song when there's no song in your heart. Finding a song when there is no song in your heart. How many of you, singers do we have here today? Now, I didn't say how many of you are good at singing. That's a different question. But, you know, how many of you sing when you're driving along in the car and you put it up full blast and you sing from the top of your voice? How many of you sing in the shower? Okay, no more details there. Thank you. There's something about music I've had a love for music all my life. I love it. I love the piano. I'm not such a good singer myself, but I do sing a lot. But there's something about music that can lift your spirit. That's why in worship, like, it lifts your spirit when you sing. And it makes you feel great. Just on a purely carnal level, it makes you feel really great. However, sometimes in life we go through some stuff, and the things that we go through drown out the song that's in your heart. I wonder, do you know what I'm talking about? You're going through, you know, when you've got pain in your heart, for example, it's very difficult to sing. Sometimes you can lose the song in your heart. Very hard to sing when you feel disappointed. And let's get real, because how many of you know that God is not offended when we get real? Sometimes we can get a bit disappointed in the Almighty. Sure, we love Him and we respect Him and we honor Him, but in our heart there can be a feeling of disappointment, and that feeling of disappointment can really steal your song. Very difficult to sing when your heart's like that. I wonder, does anybody know what I'm talking about here today? Have you ever been there where you just can't really find your song? There's no song in your heart. So the question is, how do you find a song when there's no song in your heart? How do you do that? And does the Bible have anything to say about any of this? And of course, the answer to the latter question is, of course, a profound yes. Because of the restrictions and time this morning, I can't go through lots and lots of Bible verses, so we'll stick to one, Psalm 137. You'll take a look at the verses on the screen there. And this is a psalm that is born out of the disappointment of God's people. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. And there on the poplars, we hung our harps. They must have been Irish. For there, our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Notice that. They demanded joy. That's a paradox. It doesn't work like that, right? But they said, God's people said, verse 4, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while we're in a foreign land? How can we do that? And this psalm is so, so interesting. God's people are in captivity. The rivers of Babylon. Babylon would be what we know as modern-day Iraq. So the distance between where they were from, their home, and Iraq was considerable. And this is a hopeless situation. They are in captivity. They are slaves. The context isn't great, and even though they're sitting by the rivers of Babylon, which would have been a beautiful setting, but they just weren't feeling it. And that can happen to all of us as God's people from time to time. You know, there can be a lot of blessing happening, but you're just not feeling it. By the rivers of Babylon, beautiful, spectacular, wonderful. But in my heart, there's not really a lot of joy. They sat down and they wept by the rivers of Babylon. The idea of sitting down and weeping meant that they sort of adopted a posture of defeat. They felt defeated, and their hearts were in a real sense of despair. They wept as they remembered Zion. And then, of course, it wasn't made any better by being goaded. Their captors, their tormentors said, sing us one of those songs of Zion. Goading them, demanding joy. That's kind of a, it doesn't kind of work like that. You know, how many husbands and wives know what I'm talking about? You will serve me breakfast with joy. Okay, let's move on very quickly to the next point. But, you know, it just doesn't work like that. If you demand joy, you ain't going to get it. And the captors are demanding songs of joy. What they're essentially wanting, they're saying, entertain us. You're here for our entertainment. God's people weren't going to do that. Sing those joyful songs, but those songs, they couldn't sing them. Do you know why they couldn't sing those joyful songs? Because they didn't have those songs in their heart. It's very difficult to sing when there's no song in your heart. How can we sing in a foreign land, said God's people? How can we sing the Lord's song when we are in a place where we shouldn't be? In other words, to contemporize it, how can I sing in these circumstances? I wonder how any of you ever said that. How can I possibly sing the Lord's song when everything in my life is going wrong? How can I possibly muster up a song in the midst of all of that? How can you sing when there's no song in your heart? Now, here's why I believe I'm here today. And I didn't know that I was going to be preaching this word until Friday. I'd come with preparation and prepared a whole load of messages. I'm an evangelist. I've actually got 3 sermons that I normally preach. That's a joke, by the way. I got more than that. That went down like a lead balloon, that one. But actually, I'd got a lot of stuff ready. And I just sat on Friday, and I felt so strongly that I should speak on this word. And I've come to prophesy today. I've come to bring you a word from heaven. And I'm going to say it as strongly as that. And here's my prophecy. Stop, and God is saying this to somebody today, stop languishing in defeat. Stop it. Stop drowning in a sea of self-pity. Stop it. Stop sinking in despair. Now, here's the deal for somebody here. I'm speaking a word of knowledge and a prophecy and a whole load of things at the same time. It's not fair. You come and tell me your story and you'll say it's not fair. And I'm going to agree with you. Here's the deal. This is the card you've been dealt, my friend. You didn't choose this. I didn't choose my circumstances. I didn't choose these circumstances. I would have chosen something better than this, but this is where I find myself. This is where you find yourself. So this is the card you've been dealt, and you've got a choice. You can either play it as a victim card, or you can take that card and play it with a touch of genius and say, okay, I'm going to make a message out of this mess. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to do something with this situation for the glory of God. I'm going to find a song in this swamp, in this mess, and I'm going to let that song rise up out of my heart. Here's five things I want you to observe today. And again, I feel that I'm speaking in a spirit of prophecy. Are you still with me here today? Here's number one. Remember heaven's music. You see, when you're in those circumstances where you're tempted to languish in self-pity and things are not going well and it's not your fault and you are absolutely right in all of your criticisms and in everything that you say, but never forget heaven's music. Remember the songs that blessed you in the past. Remember the times when you stood in the presence of God and you encountered His grace and His love and it made the hair stand up in the back of your neck. How many of you ever have had encounters like that? It may even have been here in Grace Covenant Church. In fact, probably it was here in Grace Covenant Church and here you are again. But that song is not there. So if the song is not there now, then remember the songs of the past. Remember the way you used to sing it. Okay, they were more innocent days. And yes, you hadn't been through some of the stuff that you've been through subsequently. But don't forget those songs, because there was something in those songs. Remember how you encountered God. During the summertime, my wife gave birth to our little daughter. And that's a whole story in itself. Maybe I'll tell you about that some other time. We'd been married for, well, we'd been married for 12 years, and for 10 of those years, we had been believing for a child, and we're one of those couples where it just didn't happen for us. You know, some people just happens, boom, boom, they knock them out like nobody's business. It didn't happen like that for us. And so we prayed, and we believed. I can't, you know, be fake and say that I was the greatest man of faith that ever lived. Part of me had kind of thought, well, it's never going to happen. And then we got our miracle. And our little daughter was born in the summertime in August of 2018. And we were delighted the first few hours. It was fantastic. It was very, very, it was very, very tough and difficult, you know, very, very challenging. And obviously Lydia had a tough time as well, you know. And but then what happened was after a little while, Lydia was just walking around and she had a little faint. And we didn't think anything of it at the time. We thought, well, you know, it's obviously a sheer exhaustion. But then after a little while, she was up walking around and she had another faint. And we began to get a little bit concerned. And then she had a third faint. And the third faint was so serious. She lost all the color on her face. I'll never forget it. I was standing up holding my little girl. There's my wife down at the other end of the hospital corridor. And Lydia looked at me with a look, and it was the look of death. And so they rushed Lydia out to find out what was going on here. We just knew it was serious. We didn't have to be a genius to work that out. And I held my little girl in my arms. And, you know, women just seem to know what to do. And men, it's challenging, isn't it? You know, that's the diplomatic way of saying it. And I stood there, and I held my little girl in my arms, and I was worried, is she gonna lose her mom? And I didn't have any song in my heart. There was no song. And I held my little girl, and then she began to get a little bit unsettled, and she began to cry, and I thought, what the heck do I do now? They didn't teach me about this in the handbook. And so I began to just sing like the little songs that I sang when I was a kid. And my old Sunday school, they were still singing 1930s songs in my Sunday school in Ireland. And, you know, they were kind of all the rage even when I was growing up as a kid. And, I just began to sing over my little girl. I didn't sing it with any feeling. I just sang it because it was the first song that came into my mind. And there was a little song that we used to sing. And I just began to sing, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." And as I sang it again. And I sang it again with not a lot of feeling, with nothing. And then suddenly I began to think about what I was singing. "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." And I began to prophesy it over my circumstances. We didn't know what the situation was at that time. And my little girl, I think she was happy because she was quiet when I was singing by this stage. But I spoke, and I don't recommend you do this very often, but I spoke to the devil. I think the devil was trying to torment me. "You're going to fail. Look, it's a mess." And I said to Mr. Devil, "I'm warning you, worship is my weapon right now. I'm going to sing. Even if I don't feel it, I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing and prophesy over my situation. My God is so big. I can't sing, but I can sing." And to cut a very long story short, my wife got a dramatic miracle. And there's no other way of describing it. She was that close to dying. Many blood transfusions, which didn't even work. She had a hematoma, hemorrhaging, internal bleeding. Very rare, but it happened. And she was in the hospital for 2 weeks. But I kept singing. Every single darn day I sang. And after 2 weeks, we went home, and we got into the car, and we were singing. When we went home, we were singing Disney songs, but that still made me cry. We put on Beauty and the Beast, and I was like, feel the anointing. How can you feel the anointing during Beauty and the Beast? What's that all about, you know? Anyway. I'm here to encourage you today to remember heaven's song. I'm telling that story to tell you, to encourage you. Remember heaven's song. Just sing it. Sing it. Sing it. Sing truth. Here's number two. You'll see it on the screen. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It's a message translation of the words of Jesus. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You see, here's what's happening. In Psalm 137, God's people are being goaded into singing happy songs by their captors, by their tormentors. And they're trying to force them to sing. But as a musician, I can tell you, and any good musician will tell you this, that you cannot force good music to happen. Like, I compose music. I love composing music. But if I sit down and I try to force myself to compose some music, it just doesn't happen. It stunts the creative process. If I try to put myself under lots of pressure, it just doesn't seem to work. Music is best is not music that is forced, it just flows. And this is like the song of the Lord, that he wants it not to be forced, he wants it to be flowing from our hearts, flowing from the depths of our being, flowing in all kinds of circumstances, singing the praise of God, even when you're not entirely sure. And forgive me if this sounds offensive, but you're not entirely sure whether God's worthy of your praise in that moment. God, look at my circumstances. But that's faith, is it not? How can we sing the song of the Lord in this place, in this barren land, in this place? But nevertheless, the faith part of us, the man of God, the woman of God, rises up and says, "No, but I will sing. I will sing of his greatness. I will sing of his power." I remember one time I came to America many, many years ago. I was preaching up in Pennsylvania, and I did the long flight over the Atlantic from England. And I wasn't feeling very well when I got on the plane, and I was coming to speak at a healing meeting. How does that work? And got on the plane, and we flew over the Atlantic, and then we arrive and get into the hotel, and I'm feeling awful. I mean, and when you're not feeling very well and you go through American customs, your boys need to smile, don't they? I mean, I know they're doing a good job, but it, you know, a little smile every now and wouldn't go amiss, especially when you're not feeling very well, especially when you come from a long flight. And then we got out of the airport, we went to the hotel, and I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't even know where I was. I was just like, you know, I was feeling so ill, and I was really, the next morning, I was nearly going to call the pastor and say, listen, I'm not feeling very well. Let's just cancel the divine healing meeting and say, healing guy is sick tonight, you know. And I was going to do that, but I felt in my heart the Holy Spirit say, you're going to go to that meeting. You're just going to show up. Half the battle is won when you just decide to show up. It's a brave thing to do, and some of you are so brave today just for showing up even in church. Bravery is not bravado. Bravado is a showing off thing. Bravery is a quiet dignity, getting on with life, showing up. So I showed up to the meeting that night. And in the worship time, it was a powerful worship time, but I wasn't raising my hands. I wasn't really singing a lot because I just thought that God should be grateful that I was there. And I'm standing there in the front row, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, now raise your hands. And I said, no. And the Holy Spirit asked a second time. You always don't resist when the Holy Spirit asks a second time. He doesn't force it, but he has ways and means of convincing you to do it. Raise your hands. So I'm standing there thinking, oh, so I raise my hands and sing. Well, I didn't even know the song. Oh, oh, yeah. Raise your hands a little higher. Sing a little louder. Raise your voice a little bit. Oh. And as I began to worship, I reminded myself, you are worthy of my praise. I may not be feeling well at this moment in time, but that is neither here nor there in this moment. I'm here to serve these people and to serve the purpose of God. And that night we saw a load of healings, a load of salvations, a load of blessings, a load of wonderful things. And when I went home afterwards, I still wasn't feeling too good. But that's the price you pay for serving God. I felt better the next day. A Chick-fil-A helped. But learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Just learn to let your song flow. It's not forced. Let it flow. Let it flow out of the depths of your heart. It's a song of forgiveness. Anybody glad you're forgiven here today? It's a song of salvation. It's a song of the redeemed. It's a song of a life that has been changed. And we must never, ever forget that. No matter where we are, we must never stop singing the song of the Lord. It's an unforced rhythm of grace. Number three, I would encourage you to do this today. Tune your spirit to God's spirit. You want to sing the song of the Lord? Then be sure to tune your spirit to God's spirit. One of the things that I've learned about music in my time is that if you want to be a great musician, number one, it's not about being technically great. That's not the issue. That's not the point. It's not even about playing every note correctly. If you want to be a great musician, the first thing you have to be is a great listener. Do you hear that? And I think that that principle applies to the art of worship. If you want to be a great worshiper, then you've got to learn to be a great listener. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he speaks by fire, and oh boy, do we love that. Don't you love a bit of fire? We got 45 nations represented in the Junction Church. And I've worked it out. When I go to heaven, I'm going to worship with the Nigerians and eat with the Italians. I love the way the Nigerians pray, and I love it the way they say, fire! Just the way they say it. I think, whoa, that gets me going right there. Sometimes, though, God doesn't speak by fire. Like Elijah found out. And then sometimes he speaks by earthquake. Oh boy, we love that. The shaking. Come on, shake the nation, shake the church, shake everything. But I have to tell you that God very rarely speaks by earthquakes. And then sometimes he speaks by the wind, a little bit windy coming here this morning. Sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit speaks. But I've discovered that the vast majority of the time, the Holy Spirit, his voice is an awful lot louder than fire and earthquake and wind. Do you know how loud it is? It's a still, small voice. Do you know the thing about a still small voice? You only can hear it if your ear is pitched to its frequency. Somebody once said to me, have you ever heard the audible voice of God, as if that's the end-all and be-all, you know? Well, I can't honestly say I've ever heard the audible voice of God. I think it's a lot louder than that. I've heard it in my spirit. I've heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me in my spirit. And we've got to learn to listen. That's how you sing. If you want to sing the song of the Lord, you got to listen. Listen to God's song. Listen to heaven's song. And then just sing what you're hearing. Sing. And actually, in musical terms, there's a big difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is passive. Listening is active. I can't sleep myself at nights when there's a ticking clock on the wall. Because if there's a ticking clock on the wall, then my musical brain kicks in and I'm making up tunes as the thing is going along. Oh, I'm sitting singing, when the saints go marching in, I think I want to go to sleep. I remember I was preaching at a church once. This is a horrible story, but I was preaching at a church once, and they had two ticking clocks on the wall of this pastor's house. And so I thought, I've got an idea. Again, I was tired, so forgive me, right? I took the two ticking clocks and I put them into my suitcase. Then I put, so that I didn't disrupt them, put clothes over the clocks. And then, you know, I couldn't hear a thing. Had a wonderful night's sleep. Went to the church the next day. Had a wonderful service. And then drove home. And then my wife was opening my suitcase. And she said, why are there two ticking clocks in your... So now I've got the reputation as the ticking clock thief up in that church up there, you know. So we had to write to the pastor, this is my problem, this is my issue, and I sent them back. But the question is, are you just hearing like it's passive, it's there, it's like background music, it's just there. Is God your background music, or is God the main deal? Because if God's the main deal, I promise you that main sound will provoke a song out of your spirit, even when you don't feel like you want to sing, even when you don't feel like that song is there. It's so important that we keep singing the songs of heaven in all kinds of challenging circumstances. I've prayed for a lot of people to be healed. You know the greatest miracles I've ever witnessed? The greatest miracles are with those people who just have decided that they're not going to give up. And they kept praising God. I was preaching in a little town called Doncaster in England once, and we packed the meeting out, and a woman came for prayer who was blind, and she became blind when she was in her 20s. Now she's a lady in her 50s, and she had a promise from God many years ago that she would one day get her sight back, and she held on to that promise. So I went to that church and preached one year, prayed for her to be healed, but there was no manifestation of the healing. So I said, well, how are you feeling? And she said, well, this is 1 year closer to my healing. So positive. Then I went back to that church the following year, because I used to go once a year to that church. Went back the next year, prayed for the same lady with faith, with expectation. How are you feeling? No manifestation of the healing yet, but it's getting closer. Then I went back to that church a third time, prayed for that same lady. No manifestation of the healing, but same attitude. It's 1 year closer. Anyway, in my office, in my home, I have a handwritten letter from that same lady, a handwritten letter. And she said to me in the letter, the last time you came, there was no immediate manifestation of the healing, but I just held on to the promise of God. And I kept trusting, and I kept praising. And then she said, and one day I saw a little bit of light, a little chink of light, and I thought, that's good. And then it began to increase and increase and increase. And then she got a little bit of clarity. And as the days went on, it wasn't an immediate thing, but over the next few weeks, her sight came back again to such an extent that she was able to write me a handwritten letter saying, look what the Lord has done. Is anybody happy for this today? And that's the power of our God. Those are the greatest miracles. Those are the greatest miracles. And what I loved about that woman was she never lost her song. She just kept singing. She kept believing. Here's number four. I'm going to quickly bring this to an end. Number four, sing even when you're not feeling it. Sing even when you're not feeling it. Sing the song of the Lord even when you're not feeling it. Even when life is not going your way. And I feel like I'm speaking in a spirit of prophecy here today. I feel like I'm speaking a word from heaven into your circumstances. You know, when you're not feeling it, don't let your worship flow from emotions, because that's a mistake. Oh, I'm feeling like worshiping today, so I'm going to really go for it. Well, the trajectory of your worship experience, if that is the case, will be like this. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. One day you'll be feeling it, but another day you won't. And so therefore, the song of the Lord needs to be sung even when you're not feeling it. Even when you feel like there's no song. I was preaching out in Pakistan a few years ago. Big church of 5,000 people. And they were singing, and the music was that. It was not to my personal taste, if I say it like that. You know, it's like, and I'm standing there, and my Western arrogance kicks in, and thinking I'm listening to all the wrong notes, and I'm listening to all the, you know, is that a choir? What is that? You know, and the little pastor of the church could read the situation, and he came over to me, and he nudged me, and he said, "You see that lady standing down there raising her hands? Yeah. If her family finds out that she's here in church, they'll kill her. And then you see that man down there, he's dancing, and it wasn't even a dancing song, but he was dancing anyway. His family have found out that he goes to church, and they're trying to kill him, but he's here in the presence of God anyway. And he began to tell me stories, and I never felt so rebuked in all my life. Then I began to just go, ah! Make a joyful noise. That didn't sound too joyful, though, did it? You know, ah! If you smile when you do it, that might induce some joy, you know? Sing when you're not even feeling it, friend. Sing when you're not even feeling it. And here's the final thing. Dare to sing hope over your future. Prophecy, word from heaven. Do not wake up tomorrow morning thinking, here's another Monday. Don't sing, just another manic Monday. That's not a song from heaven. That was not birthed in heaven, I can tell you now. That was a carnal song. You wake up and you say, Lord, I'm going to sing hope over my day. I'm going to declare hope over my family. I'm going to declare hope over my future. And no matter what the policy, do you know what some of us need to do? Here, let me give you a little word of advice, America. I'm talking to my own church about this in England. We're inundated with news, politics. It's like, what? So I'm encouraging our church, let's fast, but here, the deal in this, it's the best fast ever. You can eat as much as you want. Just turn your TV off. Challenge you to do it this week for a day. No news, no nothing. Turn it off. Here's the deal. We're coming into the presence of Almighty God, ladies and gentlemen. The old man Wigglesworth bought a TV back in the day, and they were lifting the TV into his home. And he was supervising the removal men as they were doing this. This was way long ago. And on the side of the box as they were lifting the TV in, it said, "Bring the world into your home." And the old man Wigglesworth, who did not suffer any foolishness gladly, he said, "Stop! Take it away! I've been trying to keep the world out of my home for years, and I'm not going to start now, so take it away." And he refused to have the TV in his home. And maybe for some of us, that's what we need to do and learn to sing the song. You know, the reason why some of us struggle to sing the song of the Lord is because there's so many other songs being sung. And it's like we're hearing this song and then that song and that song on the left and that song over there and that song there and that song there and that song there and that song there. And what we've got to do is switch it off and let's tune our spirits to God's spirit. And sing over your family. Sing over your country. Did you hear what I just said there? It's an Irish guy saying this in America. Sing over your country, friends. There's hope. And it's called the gospel. It's the best news on the planet. And I believe that God's going to do something so remarkable in these days. So utterly amazing in these days. That thousands of people will come to faith in Jesus Christ. You've listened wonderfully well. I felt that I needed to say these things today. It's imperfect. It's not articulated brilliantly, but it's straight from the heart. Sing when it doesn't make any sense to sing. The song of the Lord, you'll find it's there. You just got to sing it. Can we close our eyes? You've listened wonderfully well. I got to jet off in a second, and I'm already late, but I don't care. I've already messed up the program. Couple of minutes. Close your eyes. Before we just... I don't know what the guys are going to do after that. They're going to go into a worship time. But before that happens, just as our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, beautiful sense of God's presence here today. There's like a prophetic word. If anybody has an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying, listen up. Listen up, friend. Listen up. And what about somebody who's here today and, hey, you know, you've never really served God. That song that I'm talking about, you've never really experienced it. Or maybe you're the kind of person that you experienced that song a long time ago. You know what I'm talking about, but then you stopped singing it a long time ago. Stopped serving God. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe you got disappointed. Maybe you had unanswered prayers. And it's time to get your song back. Time to lean into God's grace. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, and there's a beautiful sense of the presence of God in here this morning, I'm going to count in a moment to the number three. And when I get to that number three, those who in their hearts are saying, you know what? I want to respond to God's word today. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to open the doors of my heart and receive him into my life. Whether that's the first time or whether you want to renew your commitment to following Jesus today, if you fit into either of those two categories, here's a wonderful moment for you in the presence of God. And then when we finish, I'm going to pray a prayer. I'd love to include those people who raise their hands in a prayer that I am going to pray. I'm not going to bring anybody out to the front. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, because that's not what we're here to do at Grace Covenant Church. This is a moment, a prayer that is going to be prayed. I'd love to include you in it, friend. A simple prayer where you come to Jesus as you are and you say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. Help me to follow you from this day on. So I'm going to count to three. As soon as I get to three, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't even matter how young you are. If you're a kid in here today, you feel that God's challenging you, you go ahead and do it. You respond. I'm going to count to three. And if you're saying, you know what, please include me in that prayer that you're going to pray in a moment. Please include me in it. Well, then as soon as I get to three, I want you to raise your hand up, take it down. I'll see it. But God will see it. That's the most important thing. And then I'll pray and I'll make sure that you're included in a very simple prayer that I'm going to pray. Here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready? You're saying, yeah, today. Today's the day. I want to open my heart. I want to make my peace with God today. I want to trust him, either for the first time, or I want to renew my commitment to following Jesus today. The Lord knows your heart, my friend. As our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, I'm going to count to three. As soon as I get to three, you raise your hand up, take it down. I'll see it. God will see it. And then I'll pray, and I'll make sure that you're included in the prayer that I'm going to pray. Here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand high in the air. Keep it up. Keep it up. There's a lot of hands. Lots and lots of hands. At least, that's 20 hands that are raised all around this room today. Even more than that. You may take your hands down. Let's pray. Everybody, please. But this is especially for those who've just raised their hands. Say these words and really mean these words from the bottom of your heart. Pray this prayer with real sincerity. I'll say a line. I'll leave a space. I'd like the whole congregation to repeat it. But this is especially for those folks who just raised their hands. Say these words. Everybody, please. Especially those who raised their hands. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross, that he rose again from the dead, and that he did it all for me. And today I open the doors of my heart. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. And from this day on, I will follow you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you all like to stand to your feet? Those of you who raised your hands, I think that Merle's going to come and just give some instructions about that. Wonderful to be with you here this morning, praying that you have a blessed week. Don't forget, tomorrow morning in your car, when you're going to work, you boom out your song with that from the bottom of your heart and at the top of your voice. Anybody up for this? You put your window down because spring is coming. The guy in the car next to you thinks you're crazy. But that's okay, because you're deluded. You think you're normal anyway, and that's just a delusion. You with me? Sing with all your heart. Let's believe that God's going to do something great. Thanks, Mark.